ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 11, entitled Liberation from the Illusory Energy, text 27 and 28. Shravanam Kirtanam Dhyanam Harer Adbhuta Karmanaha Janma Karma Gunanam Cha तदर्थे किल चेष्टितम् इष्टं दत्तं तपो जप्तं वृत्तं यच्चात्मनप्रियं दारान् सूतान् गृहान् प्राणान् यत्परस्मै निवेदनम् श्रवणं कीर्तनं ध्यानं हरेरद्भुतकर्मणः जन्मकर्मगुणानां च तदर्थेऽखिलचेष्टितम् श्रवणं कीर्तनं ध्यानं हरेरद्भुतकर्मणः जन्म कर्म गुणानां च तदर्थे अखिल चेष्टितम्। Translations by the disciples of Divine Girish, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. One should hear, glorify, meditate upon the wonderful transcendental activities of the Lord. One should specifically become absorbed in the appearance, activities, qualities and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus inspired, one should perform all of one's daily activities as an offering to the Lord. One should perform sacrifice, charity and penance exclusively for the Lord's satisfaction. Similarly, one should chant only those mantras which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all of one's religious activities should be performed as an offering to the Lord. Whatever one finds pleasing or enjoyable, he should immediately offer to the Supreme Lord. And even his wife, children, home and very life air, he should offer at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.27, Lord Krishna has ordered, Yat karosi yad asnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunte yat tat purushasya matarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, and all austerities that you perform should be done as an offering unto me. Srila Prabhupada has commented on this verse as follows. Thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called Archanam. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined in the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest yogi as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Many persons who become attracted in the devotional service of Krishna are bewildered by the material possessions, reputation or skills they have accumulated by their previous material activities. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, these two verses indicate that all such material opulences accumulated by one's previous karma should be used as an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's fame, education, wealth, and so on should all be used to carry out the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes envious materialists ask why one should waste one's wealth and education in the Lord's service when such things could do better be used to gratify the temporary material body. Actually, however, what we possess, including this body, is ultimately the property of the Supreme Lord, who is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the all existence. Therefore, one should be blessed by dovetailing one's so-called opulences in the devotional service of the Lord. Otherwise, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham, the Supreme Lord will appear before us at the time of death as Mrityu, death personified, and violently take away all our possessions. Therefore, such possessions should be peacefully offered to the lotus feet of the Lord while we are still living and able to enjoy the pious result of such an offering. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, tapaha, austerity, means that one should observe vows such as Ekadashi Vrata, in which one fasts from grains and beans twice a month. The word japtam refers to chanting the holy names of the Lord, such as Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has further pointed out that one can offer one's wife, children and home to the Lord by converting one's family into devotees of the Supreme Lord, rather than becoming artificially puffed up in the pursuit of so-called status symbols. One's family should be trained to understand that they are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. And when the entire family becomes dedicated to Lord's service, a very beautiful situation is created. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that if a human being is not initiated into the process of Bhagavad Dharma, he must depend upon uncertain knowledge derived from his gross material senses. Indifferent to the sublime descriptions of the Lord's eternal appearances, pastimes and innumerable transcendental qualities, the faithless materialist wanders about on the platform of mundane enjoyment. But if one can understand the reality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is described in authorized Vedic literature, then one should accept the order of Tridanda Sannyas, or at least one should practice restraint of the body, mind and words, and thus become self-controlled and fixed in the absolute truth. Then all of one's desires, all the charity he gives, and his penances and chanting of mantras, in other words, his entire personality, his home, his children, his wife, and his very life air, become heartfelt offerings to the Supreme Lord. When a living entity constantly hears the authorized descriptions of the Supreme Lord and dovetailed all of his activities in the Lord's service, avoiding other activities, he is considered to be fixed on the platform of Bhagavad Dharma. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा ददामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलन् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे कौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवारि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे कृष्णा द आंसर आई लाइक टू बेग फॉर द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड वैष्णवास दैट आई कैन स्पीक समथिंग इंस्पायरिंग फॉर एवरीवन एंड फॉर द प्यूरिफिकेशन ऑफ माय ओन सेल्फ. So today we are discussing the 27th and 28th verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter is entitled Liberation from the Illusory Energy. So the translation, I'll read it out one more time. One should here glorify and meditate upon the wonderful transcendental activities of the Lord. One should specifically become absorbed in the appearance, activities, qualities and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus inspired, one should perform all of one's daily activities as an offering to the Lord. One should perform sacrifice, charity and penance exclusively for the Lord's satisfaction. Similarly, one should chant only those mantras which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all of one's religious activities should be performed as an offering to the Lord. Whatever one finds pleasing or enjoyable, he should immediately offer to the Supreme Lord, and even his wife, children, and home and life very life air, he should offer at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, over the past few days, or rather the past month, we've been discussing this 11th canto, 3rd chapter, in great detail. Just a synopsis about where we have landed up today. To go back a few verses, we'll see that in this particular chapter, King Nimi is inquiring about the questions that he is posing to the Navayogendras. So two questions he is already asked in the previous chapter, for which answers were given. And in this chapter he poses four questions, out of which the first two questions are related to the text we are discussing today. So the first text in this chapter begins with the question that King Nimi poses to Navayogendras. He is asking, what is Maya? Now, there is an interesting paragraph by His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj on what is Maya. So Maharaj says, Maya can enter into our life in five ways. The first thing that we see in today's world, which is so very prevalent, is Maya is all very much prevalent even in our own pockets. We take her along wherever we go, day in and day out. We cannot live without her. So Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj has mentioned these five potent points that a sadhaka has to be very careful where basically Maya is influencing. So the first one he says, through technology, Maya enters and has spread her net in the entire world, I should say, through the world wide web. The second thing which Maharaj says is, it brings distant people close and close people distant. Now if we ponder upon this statement, there is a deep meaning to this statement. Now what is distant people close? If in a room four people are sitting, and more or less we see nowadays that all four are absorbed in their own smartphones chatting to someone in America, one will be in the East Coast, one will be in the Middle East, and the rest of the four who are actually sitting in the room, they might have a very meager conversation. They might be engrossed in their own personal conversations throughout the world. Why is this? A subtle reason that Maharaj explains is, on the false ego platform, it's very difficult for us, it's becoming more and more difficult with technological advancement, that to have relations with those who are near and dear, living close by, next door, to interact with them, to come face to face with them, to talk very openly and closely with them. What happens is that person will open his mouth or write on your face if he doesn't like anything about you, and then it hurts. It pierces the false ego or FE that I say. What happens in case of someone who's sitting in a distant country or nation, whatever, if you text, basically you don't need to take responsibility for his emotions. You don't need to take responsibility for his actions. All you have to do is you have a very superficial so-called relationship through the technological advancement. So this is the second point that Maharaj makes. The third point he says is, it makes a person passionate and self-absorbed. The fourth point which he mentions is, it's of course a good means for communication, and it creates more opportunities in all varieties and stratas of life, but at the same time the risk factor which is involved is immense. So what is that? It creates and brings sense objects which are so very easily available to us at the snap of a finger. Sense objects are available at the drop of a hat. Previously, if you don't have sense objects, I mean, it's kind of easy to restrain your senses. But now with this advancement, there is a pro that so many things can be done, but there is also a con that you have to live with it. And the last one is, Maharaj further says that due to all these technological advancements and using them day in, day out, the faculties of the intellect or the thinking capacity of a human being is greatly under scrutiny, and then the creative abilities of an average person is on the wane. So the reason for telling this is not that we avoid using our phones, our laptops, or we detach from our gadgets today or tomorrow, or that's all maya. Definitely the purpose behind reiterating this point is, at the back of our mind, we all as sadhakas should be careful and afraid while using them in the Lord's service, but at the back of our mind we should always have that thought, what I am dealing with, what we are into. So from the 2nd to the 16th verse, Antariksh describes and answers the queries of Maharaj Nimi, and then the 17th verse he asks, how can this Maya, which is insurmountable, be overcome and transcended by the gross materialists? For this, Prabuddha, who is another Navayogendra, he answers from text 18 to text 33. In this chapter we see that it describes as the Lord, as the super soul, appears within every living entity's hearts, and he enlivens the 11 working senses of the living entity. Further, it is described that the conditioned living soul misidentifies oneself with the gross body, thinking himself to be that and not the actual self, which is the supreme soul, which is the spirit soul. Further, we see that he takes repeatedly birth and he is entangled in the cycle of birth and death. In the further verses, it's mentioned that permanent happiness cannot be achieved in this material world, but it can be achieved only when we transcend this material world. And for that, Prabuddha says, what's the process? The process is, we need to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. First of all, we need to seek who is a bona fide spiritual master. One verse later on explains, a person who is learned in Vedic literatures and Shastra himself, and based on his Vedic conclusions, he can convince others about getting engaged in devotional service. Such a person is qualified to be a spiritual master. And in the last few verses, Prabuddha goes on and he says that the submissive disciple should learn sitting at the feet of the spiritual master and inquire submissively, and through oral reception, he should engage in practical devotional service. And the qualities which he has to inculcate, that a disciple has to inculcate, like saucham, danam, tapam, all these things are also mentioned in the further verses. And then we land up to today's verse, where Prabuddha speaks about practical devotional service, the ninefold processes of devotional service is kind of interlinked with this verse. So today in this class we'll discuss on, I thought it's a very elaborate purport and very, there are many themes in this verse. So we'll take three themes from this translation. The first one will be, one should hear, glorify and meditate upon the wonderful transcendental activities. So it's mainly the limbs of devotional service, the primarily the hearing and chanting. Another thing which I would like to discuss today is about the appearance of the, I mean, one should be absorbed in the activities of the Supreme Lord. This verse says like appearance and all the other glories of the Lord. So in this, what is the need of festivals? Why do we celebrate festivals? We can do so many other things with the money we celebrate on festivals. So what is actually the need of celebrations? We will touch upon that. And lastly, whatever one finds pleasing, this verse says, one should offer that in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It includes one's wife, sons, children and so on. So this itself is a very heavy statement to digest. So we'll touch upon this topic also. And this will be the crux of our discussion for the next half an hour or so. In the third canto, Devahuti and Kapiladev have a discussion. Devahuti, she is also very disturbed by the presence of the illusory potency. And she poses a question to Kapiladev. She says that, please help me overcome this material anxiety that I am caught in. And, give me an option to overcome this anxiety I am ridden in. So, Kapiladev answers and the instructions of Kapiladev to Devahuti is a wonderful book compiled by Srila Prabhupada. So all these instructions are passed on follows in the conversation between Kapiladev and Devahuti. So the interesting thing here is this same question was posed by Mother Devahuti to Kapiladev some years back. Sorry, it was posed to Kardam Muni, her husband. And then Kardam Muni that time, he tells Devahuti that after a few years, your son will answer these questions. This question will be answered by your son after a few years. So then, you have to give credit to her that she patiently waits for the apt time and carries on with her devotional service. So the lesson to learn here is, we have three qualities that Devahuti exemplifies. The first one being the attitude of her detachment, that she was detached whether she got the answer now or no. She waited for several years. The second thing, eagerness for knowledge. Even after so many years, she was still eager to accept whatever knowledge was on offer. And the third one is the desperation for perfection. You could say she was desperate to achieve perfection in her life. So this is the lessons we derive from this pastime. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada, if you analyze his life, in 1922, he came in touch with his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who immediately gave him an instruction, you are a learned man, why don't you preach this message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language? So 1922, the clock goes around 40 or more years, you forward it. 1966, Srila Prabhupada, 1965 in fact, September, he boards the ship to the US. And then throughout these years, you could see how Srila Prabhupada churned and analyzed the instruction, keeping it close to his heart. And then for all those years, Prabhupada meditated, constantly trying to achieve the goal of his spiritual master that he had been instructed in. And finally, we see because of him, we are sitting out here. So the orders of a spiritual master can be postponed, but it cannot be ignored. That's the important thing that one needs to keep in mind. It's also said that for self-realization, for a jiva, what is the primary essential requisite? That one needs to first get afraid, or one needs to have an aversion to maya. So the next step which follows is, if you are averse to maya, then definitely the process, a process which will appeal to have you give you a solution, there will be a process which will appeal to you. And then what follows after this is, attraction towards the samsara or the material entanglement has to be on the decline for that sadhaka. And then the next thing is, after that he will be open to the suggestion of accepting a guru, and then follows the other processes of submission and oral reception from him. So finally Kapiladev is told by Devahuti, I have taken shelter of you. your lotus feet, and you are an axe which can cut the tree of material ignorance. Similarly, in the first canto we see sages of Naimisharanya posing a question to Suta Goswami. Now, sages of Naimisharanya were very learned themselves, but they were very humble in sitting and listening from the lotus lips of Suta Goswami. So, it's said in the purport by Srila Prabhupada that the entire age of Kali was completely in distress and they were seeing forthcoming difficulties that is going to befall upon the products of Kali Yuga. So they were very compassionate upon the jivas of Kali Yuga and they posed to Suta Goswami saying, Tatra tatranjasa yushman bhavata yadvinishchitam. Please certainly, surely tell me what is the process, what is the solution to the suffering that the entities in the Kali Yuga are undergoing. They were demanding or requesting that in certain terms, oh Suta Goswami who has been blessed with many years, kindly reveal in detail about the process of the solution for the mitigation of miseries of the age of Kali Yuga, people of Kali Yuga. So an example which comes to mind here is in the Ramayana. Sita Devi represents the living entity and the deer represents Maya. Sita Devi tells Lord Ram, I want this deer, and Lakshman portrays the role of Guru who keeps guiding the living entity that is Maya, be careful of it. So unless and until, how can one be ready to take that instruction of Guru and warning which comes from superiors? Sometimes when we get that, so if you are in touch with scriptures on a daily basis and you are in the proper mood, then that instruction or that hint that you get at a particular time, your ears will be receptive to that particular advice. So Suta Goswami answers in the second canto, the answer to the question of the sages is given in the second canto, where it said, Pravishta karna randhrena svanam bhava saroruham dhunoti samalam krishna salilasya yatha sarat. So here it said that the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the supreme soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus he cleanses the material contamination that is pervading in our hearts. So Krishna enters through oral reception of Srimad Bhagavatam within our ears. What happens when Krishna enters? Just like sometimes some people put water into their ears and cleanse their nose or their entire system. Some other people put ghee into their ears and try to derive benefits from it. But Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the ultimate solution that it is only Krishna Katha and pure unalloyed Krishna Katha which we have to on a daily basis take in Karna Randhrena to our ears. And what follows is once we follow this principle of taking in the instruction of the acharyas, which is given the Srimad Bhagavatam to our ears, Krishna in the form of that subtle sound enters our ears and our body and then he does the magic inside. How he does depends on the level of shelter and in the level of mood we give to the oral reception of Srimad Bhagavatam every day. So in the purport it is said that during the rainy season the waters of the river generally become murky or muddy. In the month of July and August, however, when there is slight rains, these muddy waters of the rivers recede and the water becomes more clearer. A little disinfectant that we pour into a small water tank goes a long way in purifying that water tank. But then that same disinfectant is not sufficient to purify the large reservoirs of water like rivers. So what is a requisite to purify the large reservoirs of water? Prabhupada says that to purify large reservoirs like water, one needs to completely take shelter of a pure unalloyed devotee, immerse himself into reading shastras and surrender unto a spiritual master. So further we see that, in other words, this analogy compares that karma and jnana, that means that disinfectant that is poured for purifying a small reservoir of water will only help us to purify our own self. But if one wants to go beyond that, if one wants to purify, I mean, not only oneself, but help others also, then one has to take to the process of Krishna consciousness with his whole heart, and in general by only devotional service that can be happened. So we see that Narad Muni is a perfect example wherein he got oral reception from the Bhakti Vedantis, he perfected his life. Not only that, after that he started preaching worldwide, and then he not only purified his life, but even he is purifying and liberating thousands and thousands of devotees. The word dhunoti here represents that roots are completely uprooted. The meaning is, when Krishna Katha goes through within our ears into our heart, then it not only purifies our system, but it completely uproots the weeds and completely, you know, it doesn't give any opportunity for material contamination to be generated within our heart. So for this, it has to be done on a daily basis. So the more we practice this, taking in Krishna Katha from within our ears and practicing devotional service, there will be a facility where the Lord himself will protect us in his own way. He waves his magic wand. So Chanakya also one time was walking in his kingdom and he found a plant which was having a lot of thorns. So Chanakya uprooted this, he cut off all the thorns on the surface which were seen, and then he told one of his disciples to bring buttermilk, and he poured buttermilk around the entire area where the plant was actually grown. So the purpose is, Chanakya said, we put buttermilk because if you put buttermilk around the area where the roots of the plants is situated, it completely uproots the entire plant, because the plant was full of thorns. So Chanakya decided that this was injurious for the kingdom. So the concept here is, if you bring in Krishna Katha through your ears, then just as that buttermilk uprooted completely the roots of that tree, and no longer would there be any thorns, or that tree itself would grow. So similarly, as the buttermilk uproots that thorny tree, Krishna Katha or devotional service, the limbs of devotional service that we practice with the sincerity and seriousness, goes a long way in uprooting all the material afflictions that one might have within our heart. So we've seen how Devahuti is being instructed by Kapila Muni to practice devotional service. We further see how the sages of Naimisharanya have been instructed on devotional service, to practice devotional service. That's for the instructions of the Kali Yuga people by Suta Goswami. And similarly, King Nimi is being instructed on the same subjects by the Navayogendras in this chapter. So in the Ramayana, interestingly, this particular verse that we are discussing today, Shravanam Kirtanam Dhyanam, this is, it draws a corollary to the ninefold processes of devotional service. So from the Shri Sampradaya in the Vedanta Desika, there is a parallel drawn between the ninefold processes of devotional service, and there is one great devotee assigned to every limb of devotional service. So for Shravanam from the Ramayana, we can remember Hanumanji, Yatra Yatra Hanuman Kirtanam. Then for Kirtanam, it is said that Valmiki Muni exemplifies Kirtanam. Then for Smaranam, if you can remember Sita Devi, her pastime where she was in Ashoka Vatika. So Mother Sita was constantly absorbed in the remembrance of Lord Ram. So that's the mood one has to exemplify. Acharyas are comparing these ninefold processes of devotional service. Pada Sevanam, who better than Bharat Maharaj? He worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Ram for 14 years. Archanam, Shabari. Vandanam, Vibhishan offers powerful prayers to Lord Ram. Sakhyam, come at the man, come at the hour, it said. Sugriv, a friend in need is a friend indeed. On a material level or on a human level, if we derive Ramayana to take lessons, we see that Lord Ram was in desperate need of a friend to maybe bring back Sita from Lanka. So at the apt time, Sugriv extended the hand of friendship to Lord Ram. Dasyam, it is Lakshman. We all know the story of Lakshman, how for 14 long years Lakshman never rested for even one moment. Days and nights Lakshman was awake to guard the safety of Lord Ram and Mother Sita. And last, Atmanivedanam, it is Jatayu who actually gives up its life for the protection of Mother Sita in the service of Lord Ram. So this is a very beautiful comparison from the Shri Sampradaya that I thought I would like to share. Now we come to the aspect from the verse that one should offer one's one should meditate upon the Lord's appearance, glories and pastimes. So from the appearance, I thought that why do we celebrate festivals? What is the need to celebrate festivals? And what do we achieve by celebrating festivals? So the reason, foremost reason which we should know is, by celebrating festivals, the message which has to be passed on to each and every devotee, the mood of celebrations of festivals is, you should realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is my master and I am His servant. So that is the prevalent mood that should be there behind celebrations of every festival. Another reason, in this Srila Prabhupada, there is a pastime wherein the Kumbh Mela, Prabhupada was going with his disciples and they were seeing that all the akhadas, one sadhu was riding an elephant and going towards taking the Shahi Snan. So his disciples told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we'll also bring an elephant for you. Why don't you ride on the elephant and we all will follow you to the Kumbh Mela Snan. So Prabhupada said, yes, get an elephant, but I will lead the elephant. I will walk in front of the elephant and we have small deities of Radha and Krishna. Place them on top of the elephant, which is the rightful place. They are the rulers of this world. So we'll place them on top of the elephant, and Prabhupada and the other devotees did Sankirtan in that mood. So the Lord is our master and we are His servant. Also, it's very difficult. We see that it's a constitutional position of an every living entity to celebrate festivals or worship and decorate, engage in decorations of the Supreme Lord. There is a bhajan which says that Tara Madhye Ratna Sanhe. So in that we say, the meaning says that how the gopis and other intimate servitors of the Lord are busy preparing, decorating different paraphernalia for the Lord's pleasure with Radha and Krishna. Festivals are also a day of mercy. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj always says that festivals are a day where we seek the blessings of that particular deity is very vibrantly available and easily achievable. So for a sadhaka who is very alert and ready for this, he should, by practicing the limbs of devotional service, take advantage of such special days. Then we come to the point that it's said further in the translation that one has to offer whatever is pleasing to oneself. One should offer whatever is pleasing to oneself, which may include one's wife, children, family, sons and so on. It's very difficult for the false ego to digest, to part with something that one is attached to, that one is attracted to. It's very easy to part with something that one may not have too much of an attachment to. So if you, charity given to a deserved person, maybe sometimes people give something very easily, so it doesn't pinch them. But the real charity is when you give it to a degree where it pinches you, it is said. So whatever is pleasing to you, if you can offer that in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is a very big challenge. So why do we offer it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why Krishna? Why not, why not I enjoy whatever is pleasing to me? So in the Bhagavad Gita 5th chapter 29th verse, Krishna himself says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So this is the answer to the question. Here we see that Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that means Krishna is the Supreme Controller of all the universes. So if not for anything else, just for this statement, just offer everything that is pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in the purport that offering wives, children, sons doesn't literally mean you just go and take your child and offer them at the lotus feet of Gopinath. It means that you make an effort to bring them to devotional service, give Krishna to them, and let them take up devotional service and engage in the service of Radha Gopinath. So that's the actual meaning Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur means to incline. So in this, the power of prayers are very, very potent and powerful. So from my own personal life, I never used to take to Krishna consciousness, or I was averse to devotees in general. I would run away from devotees as far as possible. At the sight of a saffron, I would be in the other room, far, far away from the clutches of a devotee. But then, here the point I would like to drive is the
compulsiveness that one imposes on another person may actually lead to repulsion. So I was very fortunate that my parents never forced me taking into this process or never kind of compelled me. This is all through their life they knew the philosophy that this is the thing which one should take, and they were very, unhappy that I was not taking. But then never even once was I forced into taking this process. So then I didn't have any goosebumps or something like that. When the time came, I don't know. But then I realized once I came into the movement, hundreds of devotees started coming to me and saying, I prayed for you here. That Mataji said, I prayed for you there. One Mataji said, I tied strings around the tree in Jagannath Puri for you. So then I was completely, in the first year I got more than 50-60 devotees coming up to me and telling all these things. So that completely humbled me, and still I'm struggling to digest that. So on a careful note also, power of prayers is really, really, the power of prayers works. And I can vouch for that. And sometimes you need to be careful that if the power of prayer invested in prayers is over a particular limit, then something like taking to devotional service was the prayer which was intended, but then it extended to one step further where I am sitting here today in the ashram. So it's all basically whatever I am, it's no credit to my any qualification. I have no qualification. Everything is basically because of the sincere prayers and blessings of devotees that they have showered on me. So Prahlad Maharaj in the Bhagavatam says, Naivatmana Prabhurayam Nijalabha Purno Amanam Janada Vidusho Karuno Vrinite Yadyajano Bhagavate Vidadita Manam Takchatmane Pratimukhasya Yatha Mukhashri. So Prahlad Maharaj here offers prayers to Lord Narasingadev. The Lord is fully satisfied. He doesn't need our prayers. The Lord is completely satisfied. It doesn't mean that our prayers are going to satisfy Him. On the contrary, our offering prayers gives benefit to us, not to the Lord. Just like in this verse it is said that decorating a person decorates himself and sees his reflection in the mirror. So that reflection also is beautiful, and that reflection also seems to be beautified. So if you water the roots of a tree, the entire plant is nourished. So glorifying the glory of the glorious one brings glory to the person who glorifies. This is one line from this purport. And this brings us and connects us to the theme of today's discussion, which is hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. So we'll focus the next 10 minutes on this two limbs of devotional service. So why hearing? In the first canto, it is said, Munaya Sadhu Prishtoham. So Prabhupada, in this purport, he very beautifully brings out what is the importance of Shravanam and Kirtanam. He says, the world is full of question and answers. Even if you want to evade them, you cannot evade question and answers. The birds, the beasts, the men are all busy in their material, activities, seeking question and answers. The birds leave their nest in the morning, having some question and answers, return to the nest in the evening with some question and answers. Prabhupada further says in the purport, the human being, unless he is fast asleep, has some question and answers to be answered. The businessman in the market poses question and answers. The lawyers in the court have question and answers. The students in the high schools and colleges have question and answers. The legislators in the parliament have question and answers. The politicians and the press representatives, they also have question and answers. But what is the question and answers that one should ask, which will actually give benefit to an individual living entity? So Prabhupada clarifies in this purport beautifully that it is not any question and answers which will give us the supreme benefit, but Prabhupada says the question and answers that are posed, that are posed in relation to Krishna or Krishna Katha, those question and answers will give supreme satisfaction for a living entity. So this I thought was a very poetic purport which was phrased by Srila Prabhupada, wherein it highlights the process of Kirtanam, Shravanam. Hearing is one of the most basic thing that we find in this life. Even if you don't want to hear, you will be forced to hear something or the other. You may close your ears, but then invariably you will be bumped into some sort of sound vibration or the other. A businessman, if he is sitting in a crowd, something, some good business offer which comes to his ears will be like music, and he will be attracted to that offers on good business. Similarly, as devotees, we should be like the bumblebee where nectar flows, and we should kind of be attracted where Krishna Katha is being spoken. Attraction develops through hearing. This is exemplified. There is a pastime of Lord Ram where he was sitting and hearing to the Ramayana being narrated by Lava and Kusha in his own kingdom. So that exemplifies the beauty and it glorifies the process of devotional service of hearing, where Lord Ram, he gets so immersed in the Ramayana which is spoken by Lava and Kusha that from his high throne he comes one step down, one step down, one step down till he is on the floor surrounded by all his subjects. And then when there is a joke cracked, he also claps the thigh of his neighbor, and the neighbor, who is his subject, claps the shoulder of Lord Ram. So such is the engrossment of Lord Ram in the topics of Krishna Katha or Ram Katha which were being discussed, that he himself is oblivion to himself and gets engrossed in this pastime. Rukmini also is an apt example. She always heard about Krishna's glories, about Krishna's beauty, and just by that hearing, she got attracted to Lord Krishna within her heart and gave her heart to Lord Krishna. Seeing came at a later time for Rukmini. So no qualification is required for hearing. There is qualification for deity worship, of course, but acharyas say there is no qualification. Jare dekho tahe kayo Krishna Bhadesh, and always, there are no restrictions. You can give this process to anyone and everyone. So Brahma Vimohan Leela, one time Krishna and his cowherd boys and friends were sitting and nicely eating curd rice and all their tiffins they had opened. And during the course they were doing Machitta Madgata Prana. So the cowherd boys were discussing Krishna Katha amongst themselves. And suddenly one cowherd boy realized, hey, the cows are missing. And then all of them came in anxiety. So then Krishna comes to the rescue. He says, you all sit down. Do not be disturbed. I will go and get the calves. You just continue in the activities that you are engaging. So the lesson we learn from this is, if a living entity is focused on hearing and chanting, the Lord protects the living entity and, gives him a promise that I will protect your senses and engage and bring back your senses which may be deviated. I'll bring it back to where it actually needs to be. Radha Govind Maharaj particularly points out this particular lesson. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also one time visited a temple, and the temple president says, Prabhupada, this brahmachari is not interested in performing any practical devotional service. He only wants to be engaged in hearing and chanting. I'll do only chanting and hearing, do not engage me in any services of the temple. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that's good, let him chant and hear, don't disturb him. But then he said, that is not practical in this age of Kali Yuga, that one can only chant and only hear. Unless one engages in practical devotional service, one cannot be sane. Srila Prabhupada also mentions to one of his disciples, to a section of his disciples, that if only we could hear and chant and pass the rest of our life meditating on the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that would make our life sublime. But that is not to be. That is why I have to rack my brains to engage all of you. So Prabhupada instituted various, he took pains, temples, deity worship, and so many other limbs of devotional service where as sadhakas one could engage in practical devotional service. So there is a story where two friends were just passing in a forest and an elephant comes chasing them. So one of the friends climbs up a tree and the other friend refuses to climb. He frantically calls, hey, climb up the tree and save yourself. But this person says, I have complete faith in the holy name of the Lord. I will just take the holy name of the Lord and stand here below the tree. Come what may, the Lord will protect. So the elephant comes 100 yards close, 50, 20, 10, and lo and behold, it's there right and near that person. What happens is, he is engrossed in meditating and chanting the holy names. The elephant comes close by and walks away. Then the friend comes down from the tree and says, why didn't you climb up the tree? It was such simple things to save yourself. Why didn't you have to take such a risk? So he says, see, I have faith in the holy name of the Lord. The lesson the friend gives us is, he says, chanting the holy name of the Lord is taken to engage oneself in service of the Lord, not to engage the Lord in our service. The second lesson that the friend who climbed the tree, he gives us is that I climbed the tree because I didn't want the pride of the elephant that is there from within me to attack me. To save myself from the pride of the elephant within me, I climbed the tree. So one has always, hearing and chanting are two extraordinary limbs, but always we need to see that what we pray for, we should pray for engaging in Krishna's service, contributing to Krishna, not always taking from Krishna. That's an important thing that as sadhakas we need to understand. So finally, there is a nice line which says that taking anything from God in your life is like taking a place that belongs to Him. You take anything from God, it's like asking anything from the Lord, is like taking anything that belongs to the Lord. So practicing practical devotional service, as this verse today indicates, whenever we have any problems in life, or any, definitely every one of us will be faced with challenges, obstacles at some point of time in our life. So the message from today's verse is that at that time, as sadhakas, as devotees, we need to be alive and potent to the possibility of taking shelter in the books of Srila Prabhupada, in the holy names of the Lord. There might be so many other processes or so many other things and solutions the material world throws at us, but if we stick to the basic processes of Shravanam and Kirtanam, the important element here is faith. Sometimes Krishna consciousness is so easy, but we tend to miss it. Basically, it might seem that this is not going to help in this circumstance or situation that I am posed in. We might say, this is the last thing I want, an advice from a devotee or a counselor or someone, that you chant and you hear, yes Prabhu, I know that, but I don't want this at this particular time. You give me practical solutions. Don't we all tend to do something like this in our lives? But then Bhagavatam gives us that a sadhaka should develop faith that Shravanam and Kirtanam and all the other limbs of devotional service, when we come back to basics, at the time of strife, if one sticks to basics, then definitely the hand of God, hand of Krishna, will come and protect us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.